This is Save the Semantics. My name is Myro. This is the podcast where I usually ramble on about things, ideas, topics that currently interest me, but I wanted to do something a little different today. Kind of move away from that. Go back to some reviews, as I sometimes do. For the weekly or bi-weekly, however frequently I post for the podcasts, whenever I mention like a movie or something like that, I usually do kind of like a brief little summary of it, but I kind of wanted to delve a little more in depth this time around. Talk about two particular movies. We got a bit of a twofer going on here. I wanted to talk about two Korean thrillers slash like drama movies. One is called Memoirs of a Murderer, and the other is called Bluebeard. And there's a couple reasons, or there's a few reasons why I kind of wanted to talk about these particular movies. Well, I think one, I've mentioned sort of my fascination, my appreciation for Korean, and I guess even like Asian, foreign movies. I think a lot of them don't exactly get the exposure that they deserve over here, as they do, as they may have in their country of origin. So I kind of wanted to just touch upon that. I've gotten definitely more into that area of cinema that I wasn't exactly aware of until relatively recently, like past couple of years or something. First, I was introduced to Korean films with Old Boy, which is now one of my favorite movies, mainly because of how I feel the way the story presents itself, the cinematography, the music, everything about it is fantastic. I'm not really going to talk about that, mainly because I think if you want to get like a video essay, auditory essay, you can just go check out something that some other people have made on Old Boy. I kind of wanted to talk about these two other movies, lesser known probably than Older Boy, but I still think that they have a lot of interesting topics that maybe could be explored. I think they're both pretty similar films, and they don't necessarily bring anything new to the table, but I think it's just worth mentioning just because, maybe there's something for discussion there. So starting off, both of these movies are available on Netflix. I do recommend checking them out. They're not very like high on my recommendation per se, but I think just in terms, if you don't want to get into like spoilers or anything like that, which I'm probably going to in just a moment, then I'd just hold off before listening to the rest of this. But I do recommend checking both of those movies out. Memoirs of a Murderer is a little more, I think, in my opinion, it's a little more engaging than Bluebeard. Bluebeard is a little more of slow pace, slow burn type of film, where the movie doesn't necessarily pick up until maybe like a third of the way through. And I'll kind of go into details of some of the issues that movie presents, as well as Memoirs of a Murderer. But in terms of recommendations and what I think constitutes as checking out, I definitely recommend Memoirs of a Murderer and Bluebeard too. They're both similar types of movies. Both, as I've mentioned, are thrillers. They both kind of deal with crime, serial killers and the like. But Memoirs of the Murderer is sort of my recommendation for that. In comparison to other like American thrillers, American, serial killer type movies, it doesn't really do anything new, but I think the way it presents itself is unique. The cinematography for one is fantastic. I think the opening shot really says a lot about the way it wants to present itself. It's like a wide shot, of like a train tunnel and the main character standing in the middle. It's definitely a very nice looking movie. But I think I'll delve into it a little bit, but I think the best comparison I can make is, like, it's the Memoirs of a Murderer has kind of, like, the story, or, like, let's talk about the character first. The main character is this old guy who essentially used to be a serial killer. He used to kill people, but he started to sort of lose his memories after his, like, his last kill, where he got into a car accident, and he started to have issues with his memory. He started losing his memory, short-term memory, amnesia, that kind of thing, you know? So he hasn't really killed since that accident, and essentially what happens is that he runs into another serial killer, who he suspects is another serial killer, and he sort of has to put the pieces together and figure out what's going on with him, you know, and whether that person is actually a serial killer, or if he's this person that committed the murders that happened recently, that kind of thing. It's a crime thriller. It's a psychological film. I think on that front, it does, like, a pretty good job. Throughout the movie, I think the thing that the film does well is I had to, like, question whether or not I could believe the main character's perspective. Because, you know, there's always, like, those films where it's unreliable narrator, and that kind of goes into the second movie I'm going to talk about, but I sort of start to question, like, okay, is he sort of an unreliable narrator? And toward the end of the movie, it reveals that he kind of is. Like, he essentially hallucinates a little bit of some of what he sees, but most of what he experiences is true. Like, aside from his interactions with his sister, who's been dead for, like, 30 years or something like that, every other interaction he's had is real and tangible. But he doesn't really necessarily realize that, because he has amnesia, and he starts to question what part of his experiences are real and what part of his experiences are essentially, like, hallucinations and stuff like that. And his relationship with his daughter, who... toward, like, the first half of the movie is kind of like dating the young serial killer, the one that the main character stumbles across. So he has to sort of figure out whether or not, you know, because he has amnesia, he loses his memory. So he forgets the details about that specific person and whether or not, you know, he's a serial killer or not. There's some things that he does in order to try to remember things. The first thing is his daughter hands him a recorder, and so that's for him to keep track of things that he has to do throughout the day or the following day and stuff like that. He also uses it to keep track of things that he did, such as, like, when he stumbled across the young serial killer for the first time, he states the license plate of that car and mentions how that person has the eyes of a serial killer and stuff like that, right? But I think the film does a pretty good job at sort of, like, you as the viewer essentially already know most of the details. The way the movie sort of reveals itself is kind of like, it reminds me of this old TV show that I used to watch. It's called Columbo, where essentially, like, the murder, or, you know, the crime, well, it's a murder, but the kill is shown at the very beginning of an episode, and throughout the episode you see how Columbo figures out who the murderer is, so you're sort of like a fly on the wall. You're able to view everything. You already know who the killer is. You already know that he was the person that committed the crime. You just have to see how Columbo figures it out as the episode goes along, which I think is a very interesting way of telling a story, because, like, mysteries, you know, mysteries, you don't like a standard mystery. Like you essentially don't really know, you know, who the killer is, unless it's completely obvious, right? Unless it's poor storytelling. But you're not supposed to know who the killer is until the end of an episode or an end of a movie, right? But in Columbo, you essentially know who it is at the very beginning. And with the movie of Memoirs, like I think some things are still like throughout, at least throughout the first half, first two thirds of the movie, some details are left out, but you know, it does essentially reveal itself. The serial killer reveals himself, you know, to be, actually be the serial killer. He's the one that has been committing the murders of young schoolgirls or something like that. And he essentially tells the main character at a certain point, but he knows because his daughter told him, his daughter who is dating the young serial killer told him that her dad has amnesia. So he knows that he can exploit that. So just to fuck with him, he essentially tells, the main character that he is like the serial killer and that he's gonna, you know, essentially like threaten him by saying that he's going to kill his daughter, abduct her, and stuff like that, you know? So I think that the film does a pretty good job at presenting its plot, and I think it kept me relatively engaged. Like, it wasn't really like the fact, like, oh, who is the killer? No, you already know who the killer is. It's just the fact that the main character is sort of like an anti-hero, right? I think a good analogy for people to sort of grasp onto is Dexter. Like, he has sort of the same motivations as Dexter. If you haven't seen Dexter, Dexter is about, he's a forensics, he works for a forensics department in the Miami police department, and he's a serial killer, but he only kills, like, bad guys, essentially, right? He kills other serial killers who don't kill good people. That's essentially the main premise of Dexter. And the main character's motivations and Memoirs sort of remind me of that. He mentions in like a flashback that he kills people that have committed, you know, essentially like immoral deeds. Like what's one? I think there's one of like a dad beating his daughter or his son, so he kills him. He kills this woman who essentially she wants to, her cat swallowed her wedding ring or something, and she wants to open the cat up so she can get the wedding ring back, so he kills her, you know. I think it's less structured. Like the way the main character kills people is less structured than the way Dexter does it. Dexter has a much more clean kind of setup, I think, you know. If you've seen Dexter, you'll know what I'm talking about. He has like a code and stuff like that. And I think that you're like, okay, I can sort of see where this guy's coming from. Because he had an abusive past. His first kill was his dad, who used to abuse him, and his sister. So he was the first person that he killed, and then sort of continued on from there, leading up to the accident where he had sort of a brain. He started to develop amnesia and stuff like that, and it sort of develops further on from there. I've already mentioned how one of the better aspects of the movie is that how the plot develops and how it envelops and how you for the most part you see things from the perspective of the main character. You know, you're kind of along with him for the journey, right? You yourself as the viewer don't have the memory loss that the main character does, but so you're kind of sympathetic to the fact, like, oh god damn it, like why does he, you know, why can't he remember and stuff like that? And that kind of provides moments of tension and stuff like that. Though this is going to kind of lead into my minor gripes, or my gripes with the movie, is that the moments when he does lose his memories kind of feel convenient for the plot at times. And I think that it's not the rules, like, I know that it's not, it's kind of hard to pinpoint down when exactly he's going to lose his memories and stuff like that. But I feel like if they had provided a little more, just a little more information about how the amnesia works, you know, because, like, once his, like, face starts spazzing, like, okay, that's a sign that he's going to lose his memories and stuff like that. But when it occurs, you're kind of like, it's sort of like, looking back on the movie, I kind of think to myself, like, it's hard to really pinpoint down, like, when he's going to have amnesia and stuff like that. Like, it just kind of seems random, which is, you know, I think probably accurate to real life. I'm not sure, you know, it's a movie, but the way the plot kind of unfolds is pretty heavily reliant on his amnesia. Like, if he was able to retain the information at a specific time and hopefully try to record it and stuff like that, then he would be able to figure out that the serial killer is, you know, after his daughter and stuff like that a lot quicker, you know? So I think a lot of it was kind of based around his amnesia and stuff like that. And I think that might have been a bit of a detriment. Though I'm not going to lie, though, with his amnesia, it definitely provided moments of tension and suspense and stuff like that. I just think that if it had been more strongly realized, then I think the overarching story, the plot, definitely would have been a lot stronger if we had more information about his, like, amnesia. Like, when did it strike? Does it usually strike at night? Like, you know, when it's dark and he gets, like, I don't know, anxiety or something like that. I think having that kind of information would have helped further, you know, solidify his condition, and it would have made more sense, like, why he would have had those moments of amnesia rather than sort of be random and stuff like that. I'm not saying that it has to be the case, but I just think that's it's just a minor gripe. You know, I think if they had strengthened that part of the movie, then I think it would have resulted in a stronger story. Now, kind of leading into my other criticism of the movie, I think that the young serial killer, the one that the main character kind of comes across, he doesn't necessarily present himself, I think the actor, more accurately, doesn't necessarily present himself as being, like, the creepy serial killer type of person, you know, and, or just, like, the villain of the film. I just think that he just kind of comes across as sort of this sort of cocky, kind of young man, I guess, who also works at the police station and stuff like that. I think his connection being a part of the police force was, like, an interesting thing, you know? Like, people aren't necessarily going to suspect the police officer to be committing the murders. I don't know. I think that was relatively well done for the most part. I just think they could have picked a more creepy type of actor, looking actor, because, like, I think the dude just doesn't look that intimidating, you know? He just kind of looks sort of boyish in a sense. And, like, this is one thing that I thought, like, kind of it sort of took away the seriousness of sort of the final scenes. In the final, like, set piece of the movie, the main character is confronting the young serial killer, and they get into a fight, and, like, the dude, the young serial killer is wearing this, like, hype beast kind of looking sweatshirt, and for the life of me, I just could not take him seriously at all. Like, I was just like, he just looked like just some exchange student, you know, who had too much money to spare. Like, I don't know why he changed outfits, like, in that moment, you know? It was funny, too, because he was previously, before that encounter between those two characters, like, he was at the young serial killer, who was still acting as his position as a police officer. He was at a crime scene, and he was wearing, like, relatively normal gear. I don't know why he switched into, like, this, like, sweatshirt that, like, looked out of place. I don't know. It seems like a minor thing, but it just kind of bothered me toward the end of the movie. Like, it just felt like it didn't feel very genuine in that moment. That's just sort of a minor gripe, I guess. And I think that another complaint that I do have is that I think sort of one of the things that I've mentioned, I think the amnesia sort of being one of the pivotal plot, plot devices, sort of lends itself to some plot holes and stuff like that. And also, his hallucinations also aren't very, like, I don't know, it's not very, it's just not believable in the sense, because he interacts with essentially, like, the ghost or the illusion of his dead sister. And I think, I just don't know where that kind of came from, because this is sort of a plot hole, because I think, from what I remember, his sister hangs herself at a pretty young age. So I don't exactly know why he would envision his sister to be an older, you know, nun working at a monastery. And it was weird because, like, at the end of the movie, it reveals that the monastery had been closed for like 10, 20 years or something. So that he essentially envisioned an entire place where there were nuns working there. There were things going on, and I just felt that it was just such a weird kind of thing, you know. And I felt that she was the monastery and his sister as a nun. Those are the only parts of the movie where I was like, okay, this is starting to kind of venture more into like a fantasy as opposed to more like a psychological thriller. And I felt that it sort of was a bit of a detriment to the movie itself. I think that I don't understand why they couldn't have made her like a real character. I think it was just sort of, it just felt a little tacky. Like, it felt like it was just there as sort of like a plot twist. It's like, oh, she was dead the whole time. Like, I don't know. It just didn't really wrap up the story very well, you know? And I think the ending, it was trying to go for like the fact that he's kind of has full-blown dementia at the very, or not dementia, he has full-blown amnesia, well, dementia, I guess dementia too, at the end, where he essentially forgets everything. He forgets about the fact that he already killed the young serial killer, and he thinks that he still hasn't killed him, so he's now envisioning the fact that he has to go out and kill him, but now he's just gone crazy, he's gone off the rails. I felt like the movie could have done without that. I think it could have ended on a more bittersweet note, where he was sort of left at the mental institution, being cared for his daughter. I felt like, there's nothing wrong with a happy ending, you know, even if it is for like a pretty bleak movie. I think that it would have just wrapped up the story a lot better, as opposed to if he just completely loses his mind, which is, I think it is inevitable, but I think, for my own perspective, leaving the story as it is, where you know that he's not going to have very long in his life, but he's just going to enjoy the last moments of his life, spending time with his daughter, his daughter taking care of him for those brief moments. You know, I think it could have done with like that kind of sort of a bittersweet end, you know, despite the terrible things that he's done and the terrible things that she as his daughter has experienced. You know, I think it would have been a more satisfying conclusion to that story. But you know, I've mentioned my complaints about the movie, but I still do recommend it for sure. I think it's worth checking out just 'cause the direction, the production is all very well done. The music is pretty good for the most part. And I think the acting is I'd say it's pretty top notch for the most part. I think the main character does a pretty good job, and the daughter does a pretty good job as well. So I'm going to move on to discussing Bluebeard, which is the other Korean movie that I saw. And once again, I'll mention that I saw both of these movies on Netflix. So if you do want to check them out, they are on there as of now, February 2019. And this movie also had to do with serial killers. And I think in the last couple of weeks, I was just in the mood to watch these kinds of movies, you know, where it has to do with like crime and like serial killers and stuff like that. And Bluebeard it's an all right film. I think, like I've mentioned at the beginning, it has some pacing issues. While Memoirs of a Murderer the pace was pretty quick, you know, you felt like things were moving along. You felt that you were there with the character. He was experiencing things at a pretty significant pace. But this movie sort of just took its sweet time to get shit started, and I felt like that kind of took away. It took away some tension from the movie for sure, because like I felt like they could have done so much more within the first like 60-70 minutes of the film, as opposed to sort of revealing the characters, what they do on a daily basis and stuff like that. So the plot of the movie is the main character is a doctor who does colonoscopies at his local clinic. There's not a whole lot revealed about his backstory. You just know that he's had a divorce, you know, so, and he sometimes sees the kid, and he lives on his own, and he's lonely, and he clearly has some issues, he doesn't sleep well, that kind of thing, you know, so you kind of see sort of his own problems, and you can sort of foresee the possible issues that might happen to him later on in the film. As the story progresses, you kind of start to see the other characters. You see the butcher, his dad, and his mother. They're the landlords of his apartment, and they essentially receive his rent. They get rental income from him. And it's heavily implied that there's been a series of murders that happened in the town, and it's also mentioned that the town also used to be like a hot spot for serial murder in the past, like 20 years ago or something like that, and it started to pop up again. And it's heavily implied, at least from the perspective of the main character, that the murder is the butcher. The main character sees things that kind of that might lead to evidence of the fact that the butcher might be the one doing the murders. He sees, like, he thinks he sees like a head in like a bag, you know, like a disembodied head, and some other things that are questionable in like the butcher shop, and he sort of experiences, you know, sort of like he dreams about these sort of psychological episodes or psychotic episodes where he sees the butcher and his dad like chopping up a body and stuff like that. I think the cinematography in the movie is pretty solid for the most part. I feel like it could have done a little more with the movie. I think Memoirs did a pretty good job by setting up these sort of beautiful shots, these beautiful like open shots. I think Bluebeard could have done a little more like dynamic shots. Like I think a lot of it was felt kind of standard, and I think it sort of took away my overall enjoyment of the film. It might be minor to some people, but I think like the way the movie presents itself through the camera lens, I think is a pretty is a pretty important part of what makes the film more watchable in a sense, you know. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, but I think another thing that the movie sort of fails to do is, like I've said, the pacing is sort of is very slow and stuff. I think that the way they develop the characters kind of feels a little, it feels lacking. Like, even though they had all this time to build up all these characters, you know, and they do reveal who they are and stuff like that, but I felt like just like the motivations behind the characters' actions, I just don't think they're like fully explained even at the end of the movie. And you could argue that, like, well, they're it's revealed at the end that there's essentially two serial killers, one being the main character and another being the old man. But, and you could argue that, well, they're serial killers, they don't necessarily need motivation to kill or whatnot. But I'm not even talking about those characters, I'm talking about other characters. There's the nurse, who works with the main character. She steals drugs from the clinic to sell, and sells them in order to get, like, expensive bags and stuff like that, you know? I feel like there's just something, like, missing about that premise. Like, it's just hard to pinpoint down. Like, I think she could have been a little bit more of, like, I don't know, maybe some kind of romantic interest, maybe. I'm not entirely sure. Maybe it didn't have to be that. But I think, like, if she just sort of felt like a placeholder there, as opposed to being, like, a genuine character, you know? Like, she just was sort of, like, she's, like, a thief, and she, like, it just felt like she didn't really have a character, you know? Like, she just felt, I don't know. I think they could have done a little more to develop each of the characters, you know? Because, like, the characters that do get developed are, of course, the main character, which I feel like they do a pretty good job at doing. The butcher, because with the conversations between the butcher and the main character, you start to understand the backstories and stuff like that for those two characters specifically, you know? And I think those two characters, that kind of relationship, I think that could have been more stronger as well. Like, there are a few instances, especially toward, like, the beginning of the film, where you see them interacting and stuff like that. But it just, I feel like it doesn't really wrap itself up very cleanly at the end. When it's sort of revealed that the main character committed at least one of the crimes, when he killed a woman, this is before the movie's events take place, where he was shown throwing, like, a woman's body off the side of a road. I think that sort of leading up to that reveal, it's shown that, like, the narrator, the main character, essentially being the narrator, is the unreliable narrator, right? Like, you don't necessarily trust his view. And it sort of works to an extent, because, like, he's had mental issues in the past. He didn't take his medications and whatnot, and he hallucinates these other characters, similar to how the main character in Memoirs did. But I think the thing that sort of breaks down the movie at the end is just sort of the end. It's revealed that the old man was the one that committed the second crime, which was killing the ex-wife of the main character. And I'm just saying shit, you know, but, like, if you watch the movie, it makes sense. But I don't really want to go through every plot point. I just sort of want to make a general statement about how the movie presented itself and how the plot developed and stuff. But I think that, I just feel that having that reveal at the end just sort of felt kind of, it just felt kind of secondary. It felt less impactful at the end for some reason. I think it just didn't have, like, the oomph. It didn't have the punch that it needed to. Because I was just like, okay, all right, I guess the old man was actually a killer, you know? As instead of sort of being more of, like, a mystery to solve, it was just kind of obvious at the end, you know? And this is a different type of movie than memoirs. It's a similar, you know, they're pretty similar in terms of like thematics and characters and stuff like that. But what I'm trying to say is that like the way both movies' plot structures are structured, like they're very different beat for beat. And I think Bluebeard should have been more, the reveal should have been more like hidden, you know, like the way the audience discovers who committed the murders, I feel like should have been a bit more concealed, a little bit more believable, you know. I think this goes for both movies, but I think having like hallucinations and stuff like that, I just feel that kind of, I don't know, it just sort of like, I'm not saying that it people don't experience that, but I just feel like it's sort of like a cop out from actually writing like a very strong story, you know. Like I think that it's just having like, this character was hallucinating the whole time. Like I just feel like it just doesn't really, like, okay, well, I guess he was just hallucinating the whole time, and then that, you know, he was the one that actually committed the murders. But like, no, you gotta try to like be more, I don't know, just be better about telling the story. Because like at the end of the movie, it reveals, you know, as I mentioned, it reveals that the main character is not true to his truth, is not very like, is not reliable, because the way it's presented through his perspective is not, he voids some of the things, you know. The movie kind of doesn't, it sort of omits some parts of his, like, his memory, essentially, just because they want to sort of trick the viewer into thinking, like, okay, well, there's something's up with the butcher, you know, because it's heavily implied that the butcher is actually the killer, and it, in a way, it's true, but it's more that the old man was the killer, and his son had to cover up for him. But I don't know, like, having that unreliable narrator thread is kind of, it just doesn't really work, because it doesn't really work for this movie in particular, because, like, he experiences these things, and, like, he essentially sees characters that, his interactions with characters are different from the way that the other person experienced that interaction. Like, he says some things, or that the other characters did. And I think, you know, it could be argued that, like, well, you know, maybe some of the other characters lied because they wanted to, they wanted the main character to essentially suffer and go to jail, which is, I think, just because he is a serial killer. But I think, like, it's just not consistent throughout the movie, you know. I think that, well, then who can he trust in the movie, right? And that might be a perspective, that might be one of the goals of the director, the movie maker, the director, the writers, or whatever, you know, where you essentially can't really trust anyone. But if you can't trust anyone, then, like, what's the point? Whose perspective can you actually trust, right? Like, who has, like, the actual right storyline? And I feel that that's just kind of unsatisfying. I think that one thing, and they sort of touched upon it at the end of the movie, is, like, the cameras reveal what actually happened. And I felt that that was sort of like a strong element of the movie, where, like, if you take away the human aspect, or if you take away human perspective, then the truth is sort of revealed, because everyone has their own, sort of filters and stuff like that. Like, they emit parts of their own stories. But a camera essentially shows exactly what is shown, right? Unless you go back into the footage and you manipulate it and stuff like that. But aside from that, like, you know, the camera is the CCTVs and the surveillance cameras and stuff like that. They actually show what happened, you know. And I felt like if the writing was better, and if the story just was more strongly written, then I think that that could have been a much better ending where, like, they, you know, it reveals that all the characters are actually lying, and this is the real killer, and that's the real killer, and stuff like that, and everyone's just trying to manipulate each other and stuff like that. And in a way, it that's kind of what happens. It just doesn't feel very... It's just not a very convincing ending, is what I want to say, you know? Because I think if they revealed... I think if they showed these cameras at the... sort of throughout the movie, as opposed to at the very end of the movie, then it would have been like, okay, well, this, you know, you foreshadow the importance of the camera from, like, the beginning of the movie or something like that, and then you're like, okay, this might be, you know, this might be important later in the film, and then, like, you know, once you go into the camera, then you see what's happened, and you're like, oh shit, everyone's actually lying, and that's the real killer. That's the real killer. And then, you know, then you're like, okay, now things kind of make sense, right? But with this movie, like, it just doesn't really, it's just not a very solid ending, because there's sort of these plot threads that don't exactly come together cleanly at the end, you know? And although I've made my complaints about the movie, and I've been kind of going on for a while now, this is gonna be a long episode, I still thought it was a solid movie. I can't really necessarily give a rating, per se, but I think it's a solid movie. I think Memoirs does a better job. Both of these movies have their flaws, however, you know, like I've mentioned, most of this episode is just going to be my own complaints about those movies, but I think that both of these movies have pretty, they have good premises. I just think in terms of execution, they could have done a little better. But just sort of to conclude this weird, I don't even really know what the hell to call this, just me rambling about something that's interesting me, which were these two, Korean films. I'd recommend checking them out for your own sake, you know. If you listen to this, you already know the plot, so it's kind of pointless now. So yeah, do whatever the hell you want. If you listen to this podcast and you heard the spoilers and you're still interested, yeah, go check it out. If you're into, like, serial killers and that kind of thing, I'd recommend these movies for sure. Maybe you have a different opinion. Maybe you'd be less critical of these movies, and more appreciative of the things they actually present. So that's probably going to do it for this episode of these movie reviews. It might be a continuing series. I'm not entirely sure. I might do some of these whenever I come across, like, an interesting movie, film series, whatnot. You know, maybe I'll continue doing some more Korean films if they interest me. Yeah, we'll just see how it goes. Might be a new episode later this weekend, depending on how the weather's looking. Can't really necessarily go out here and record in the rain. But yeah, that's probably going to do it for today. Anyways, it's been Save the Semantics, signing off.